During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com. Chicago.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Football Friday. We have Tim Grunhardt in studio and Nate Bucati repeatedly tweeting about the World Cup throughout the show. And Marco Marquez is here as well. Hello, Timmy. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Thanks for asking. It's great to be here with you guys this morning as we roll into Thanksgiving week. A lot to be thankful for. Thankful for you guys. Thankful for the opportunity to come on the radio here at 810 WHB a couple times a week. Thankful for the great Chiefs fans. Grateful for everybody that bought my book. Listen, it's still out there for the holiday season. TimGrunhardt.com.
Do you have any on you?
I think I do. I think I have some. I gave you one, didn't I?
No.
Oh, my gosh. During the break, I'm going to run down and get
it's
you.
It's got to be autographed, personally.
It'll be autographed.
No, but here's the deal.
Gosh, I can't believe I haven't given
you. I was going to ask, if you have more than one, maybe a couple, whatever, yeah. I'm going up to a place that you have many, many friends and fans. I'm going to St. Joe, Missouri today.
Those are my friends.
I'm going to be
there
at the Hy-Vee on the Belt in St. Joe. I'll be there at 3 o'clock until around 5 with my friends with Jim Beam.
Yep.
If you gave me one or two, I'd like to have people register for it.
Done.
And then I give it to them, whoever, just people that register between 3 and 5.
Okay.
I think I have
three books in the back of my car.
Would you sign it, though?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Would you go to the Hy-Vee St. Joe to try to win an autographed book from Tim Grunhardt?
Yeah, I would.
You bet your ass you would.
Nate better. Nate and I have really become so much closer now because of my love of soccer.
But honestly, a lot of people up at St. Joe can't come to your signings or whatever else, and then you can win one.
No, we got
to
get up there.
The Hi-Ho wants you to have one.
I know.
My buddy John up there.
They're
you
want
to do one
and
up there?
His beautiful wife up there.
That's right. We'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, we'll figure it. We're going to figure it out. Yeah, why don't you, can you be my agent for this
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely.
I'll give you a little percentage.
Absolutely.
I'll book this thing and get it done.
John Garvey, give me a call. Let's get this done now.
Let's do it maybe the week before Christmas. Like during Christmas week, we'll have a little Christmas cheer.
You coming to my birthday party?
Your birthday party's this Saturday. It's coming up Saturday.
A week from Saturday.
A week from Saturday. Yes.
So John will be there so we can consummate this marriage.
That might be when the state championship is, if I'm in it. So maybe we're rolling right from the state championship to your party.
You coming in there with the stink of victory.
Stink of victory, hopefully. Right? It'll be a great game tonight. There's a love-hate relationship between Aquinas and Miege. But really get along with Coach Dreiling and that coaching staff. A lot of great Coach Pierce over there. I'm drawing a blank, and I apologize because I love the guy. He was a linebacker at KU while I was a Haney.
Come on, Nate.
Heaney.
Ben Heaney?
Yeah, Ben Heaney's a linebacker coach. So I walked up, and I saw both of those guys, man. And It was so good to see him. It's really cool. It's going to be a great game. It's a great rivalry. It's going to be a battle, and may the best team win. But either way, we'll be rooting for whoever, I think, here in Kansas City, whoever wins that game. So
we have Tim Grunhard in studio, who is furious.
Furious.
That Buffalo.
I am furious.
The NFL is moving the Buffalo Cleveland game to Detroit.
If I got to stand outside tonight in 14 degree weather, then they can go and play an NFL football game where they're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in the snow. I don't get that.
Von Miller just tweeted this out of his house. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you get a shovel and you shovel out.
No, he's not shoveling nothing.
You get a shovel and you get to go to practice.
They canceled practice today.
I know.
They're not able to.
What the hell is going on?
They're worried that they might not be able to get out of town to get to Detroit.
What do you think Gunther Cunningham would say about all that?
Hey, I told men. The snow. You walk out there, you melt the snow by looking at it.
I don't give a damn.
Yeah, you go out there and you take the shovel and you just attack it. You attack that snow. You take the little snowflakes and you take their heart away. And then guess what? And then all of a sudden it starts to melt and there goes their soul.
Right.
And those are the things that make me sometimes drive real fast when I go home.
Well, you better not drive fast in that stuff.
Don't drive fast.
Please don't. I wouldn't like that at all.
Gunny, right down state line.
Don't let anybody see me blank.
So you're against this. You say play in the snow. But now Buffalo gets to spend a week in Detroit because they play in Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Isn't that nice?
Is that a treat?
Boy.
Is that a treat?
Detroit is lovely this time of year.
Is that a treat?
Why not? Now, did you see it?
Would you rather be a week in Detroit or a week here in Kansas City?
I like Kansas City.
Yeah, me too. How about a week in Detroit or a week in Toledo, Ohio?
What's the difference?
I don't know.
As a man who's been to both places,
I'm not sure.
It's all part of the Rust Belt.
Yeah, they're all kind of.
If I went to Toledo,
near rivers,
I feel like I don't know. So do you see in Detroit right now in the stadium? There's a big carnival that's on the field that they have to clear out.
Put a tent over that circus, huh?
Yeah, that's just a rough deal.
Okay, so but besides dealing with the weather, Buffalo has lost two in a row. Josh Allen has not played well the past couple of games. Is this just a mini slump for the Bills, and they will soon reestablish themselves as the co-favorites of the Super Bowl? Or is Buffalo in trouble and they may win the division? Come on.
So, man, that's a great question. And I'm not sure how this is going to affect the team. I really don't. So, listen, there's a hangover right now in Buffalo. They've lost a couple games. And the way they lost that game against Minnesota, that is a rough, rough way to lose a football game. I feel bad for Mitch. Good dude. Mitch Morris, who obviously was here with the Kansas City Chiefs as a center.
Right.
And with the Missouri Tigers. I think he still even lives in town here. But that's tough. And I talked to Soren a little bit about the snap and kind of what happens. For some reason, and I don't know why, those like snap take a knees or end game snaps or, a victory formation stuff or quarterback sneaks. It's just a weird dynamic because, especially in a victory snap, you almost it kind of reminds me of when you're playing golf and you start to aim. Nate, you're starting to be a big time golfer. When you start to aim and you think like you're up on the tee box and you're aiming and then you're hesitating and you're not swinging the way that you usually swing because you're afraid you're gonna hit it out of bounds or you're gonna hit it in the water or whatever. That's usually when you hit it out of bounds or hit it in the water. As a center, and this is weird, and guys, I don't know why this is, but it just is. All right, when you snap the ball in those situations, it's almost like you're almost like slow the snap down and you're trying to hand the ball to the quarterback. And it happens all the time. It just does. And it's a weird, when you snap, and people are like, I don't want to listen to, the dynamics of a snap because it's not the most exciting thing in the world. But there's a feel that you have when you got a good quarterback under center exchange where you get the good clap of the ball into the hand. And if and it feels like you're hitting a great drive right down the middle. You get that feeling. And then you know when you're kind of off one way or the other, or the quarterback is hands aren't quite far enough, or he's pulling his hands out a little too early or whatever. So what happens in that situation is it looked like Mitch was kind of doing that old, hey, I'm just going to get the ball back to you. I'm going to slow it down and get the ball and hand it to you. And Josh Allen was thinking so much about getting that first, you know, just getting out of the end zone to kind of kill the clock to win the game, that he reached for the ball, and at the same time, Mitch was trying to hand him the ball, and it went right through his hands because of just the dynamics of the snap was off. And when that ball, usually when the ball, and here's the, if for everybody out there, if you want to blame the center or you want to blame the quarterback, this is the formula that you usually look at. If the snap comes straight down, if you watch the fumbled snap or the muff snap, and, you know, I know a lot about this because Dave Craig was my quarterback. That you
a lot
snap
of fumbles.
The ball,
tiny
you snap
hands.
The ball, and the ball drops straight down. That's on the quarterback. He either didn't have his hands far enough in or didn't extend his hands to receive the ball or whatever. He just maybe didn't have his hands in the proper position, whatever. If the ball comes out and it comes out sideways and the ball goes to the left or go to the right, if you hook or slice it, then that's the center, because the center obviously was snapping the ball at a bad angle because he was trying to step or something else. So that's how you know. So when I looked at that, it was hard to tell. It looked like it was the quarterback's fault because he kind of reached for it to try to get it too quick as he was moving to go forward, and the ball did go straight down. But I will say that watching Mitch, and I've done it, I raise my hand right now, where you just want to get the snap to him. That's all you're worried about. You never think about the snap until you have to think about the snap. And the one thing that I would do all the time, and I would tell Mitch to do this because I know what happened, he was worried that those guys were going to try to slap the ball as he was snapping it, which defensive linemen think they're cool, where they can pull that off, where they are fast enough to hit a football while the snap is being transferred, and it's almost impossible. And if you do, you're offsides. Well, a lot of times, so you got to put your hand down. I always put my left hand down next to the ball, so if somebody tried to slap it from that angle, then it would hit your hand first, and you'd have a guard, you'd have a protector for the ball.
You know, I've been...
That's way too much about talking
no,
about
No, it's
snaps.
Not. It's great stuff that no one else can
game,
provide. But
yeah.
See, like, I have, for a long time now, I have wanted the Chiefs just to utilize the quarterback sneak with Patrick Mahomes when it's fourth and short, and they just refused to because he got hurt in that freak accident in Denver a few years ago.
Yep.
But then I'm watching this game, and I watch back-to-back quarterback sneaks with a game on the line fail. So I'm done. I'll shut up about quarterback sneaks.
I hear you, man.
You know, and yeah. I just whatever. But I didn't ask you this. And so in that situation, right, so you've been a center, you've been a coach, you've done it all in football, Timmy. I don't know if you know that. But in that situation, where you're on the 2-inch line, mm-hmm. and you gotta you can't just throw it out of the back of the runner out of the back of the end zone and take a safety. What's the best thing to do? Was that the right play to try a quarterback sneak? Should they have handed the ball off? Should they have tried to get Josh Allen outside of the pocket play action? Like, what do you do there?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different schools of thought.
What would you have done?
I probably the first initial rush, I probably would have gone with the quarterback sneak and just said, hey, just fall forward, get us a yard, and then we can execute some of our offense. It's really hard to execute your offense on the 4-inch line. It's really hard to do that because when you do a handoff or whatever, you know, those guys are just barreling down and they're low and they're physical and they're diving forward and they don't care about anything but getting penetration into the line of scrimmage. And all you need is your running back to either hesitate or slip or anything else, and boom, it's a safety. And, you know, you just can't do that. But there are schools, and I have been one of the guys when I was a head coach, and then John Holmes, who's a head coach right now for Bishop Miege.
John Holmes.
You know, one of the things that we do all the time, and you listen, I don't care if you're listening, you better be aware because we're on the 1-yard line. You may get a deep pass because that's usually the best time to do it. Because you got nine guys kind of lined up trying to stop a run. You got some one-on-one stuff. You throw the ball in the middle of the field, or you throw the ball in a post or a fade or something, and you got one-on-one with a big receiver. That's when you make big plays, and you can win football games that way too. So there are different schools of thought that you want to go through. One is obviously to, you know, just get that yard and, hey, let's just put this thing to bed. And then other ones are like, hey, listen, if they're going to give you this shot, take the shot. I'll never forget, we were playing against Shawnee Heights, my second year at Bishop Miege, in a playoff game. And we were inside the five-yard line. And we, you know, we were down by like four or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And we were going to have to punt. And I said, listen, fake it. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, fake it. So I said, we have Justin McKay, who's a big, tall, physical receiver, and he's the flyer. And the punter was backup quarterback. So he caught the ball and just threw it up high and kind of the Louis Aguiar and Willie Davis deal. Remember that? Or was it Danny Hughes? I can't remember. I think it was Willie Davis. Remember, he just kind of threw it up, and that's and the punt returner, it's hard to tell. The punt returner is actually waving for a fair catch, and he just ran up and plucked it and ran in for a touchdown. So, you know, sometimes you just take chances, man. And you know, I think in that situation, you just go ahead and take that yard.
So let's get on to, you know, actually just it was against Seattle. I just found the play.
Yeah.
And so, okay, let's talk about the Chiefs and what they're dealing with against Louis Aguiar to Kevin Lockett on the fake punt. How about that?
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. Look at this. There's a little trip down memory lane here. Timmy?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Isn't YouTube great? He just heaved it up there,
baby.
Remember
that one?
Look at that.
There it is. Boom.
So
beautiful thing.
Speaking of guys that catch passes, this is going to be interesting for the Chiefs. So we know Mecole Hardman's on IR with an abdominal injury, but they say there's hope. They don't think it's season-ending. He'll come back. Juju Smith-Schuster, he ain't going to play. I mean, he's got to have at least a week off after what he went through. MVS is banged up.
Yep.
But then you got Kadarius Toney, you got Watson, and you got Sky Moore. So what are you looking for? It's safe to say Harbin's not playing for sure. Juju's not going to play.
Right.
How do you think this is going to pan out Sunday night with the wide receivers against the Chargers?
Well, I like what Patrick Mahomes said. He said, listen, it's time for some of these younger guys to step up, make some plays, and be a part of the offense.
It's time to take the diapers off and go to work, as the coach once said.
You know, Watson's a guy that he's got seven catches for 113 yards. He's been involved like 24% of the snaps or something, 25% of the snaps.
They've all done something against Sky Moore. That's been the most disappointing part of it.
Yeah. So, well, now Sky Moore's going to get a chance. I mean, now he'll be the guy, so we'll see if he could step up and make some plays. I'm wondering if they're going to activate Powell off the practice squad. That would be an interesting deal, too. I'm not sure if they're going to do that. But did they also – is Kemp now on the team? Did they get him back on the team? I thought I read that somewhere. So they may try to find a way to activate one of those guys, whether it's Powell or Kemp. But you got Watson, you got Toney, you got Moore. And then, obviously, you know, you have Travis Kelce.
Noah Gray's been a bigger factor.
And then Pacheco's been running the ball well. It just depends on, you know, once again, it's that whole deal with the offensive line. Which one's going to show up? Is it going to be the good offensive line or the bad offensive line? And it's kind of been that way. If you look at the Colts game, not a very good performance. The Titans game, not a very good performance. You know, and then all of a sudden the 49ers game looked like a bunch of train killers. And then last week looked great. So it just depends on which one shows up. And I can't figure that one out. I'm not sure if it's just the way that teams match up against some of the guys, whether it's the speed that hurts them, whether it's the size that hurts them, whether it's the physicality, whether it's whatever it is. I don't know. But the offensive line last week looked as good as they have all year. And then you rewind it back to the Titans game, and it's like, what's going on here? Would they have 13 carries for 14 yards or something?
Yeah.
So
credit the Titans, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And I think maybe there's just some matchup problems that some of the Chiefs' offensive linemen have against certain guys. They obviously didn't have it against Jacksonville. They obviously didn't have it against the 49ers. But they did against the Colts. They didn't play very well against the Colts. They didn't play very well against the Titans. Maybe it's just the AFC South that they don't play very good against.
Marco, who's your guy again? Your right tackle that we have declared your player.
Prince Tega Winago.
Let's hear the clip of Eric Bieniemy talking about the Prince, because he had to fill in for Andrew Wiley, And he did pretty damn well in his opportunity to play. Here's Eric Bieniemy talking about his backup right tackle.
You know, Prince, I thought Prince did a heck of a job of stepping in. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect game, but he came in and he played hard and he fought his tail off. That just goes to show you, giving due respect and their credibility to Coach Heck and Corey and what they do and how well that they have their guys prepared for those defining moments when called upon. You know, that's one thing that I think a lot of people take for granted outside of these walls. We have an outstanding coaching staff. We got some great teachers. But on top of that, the teachers do a great job of developing the people and then developing the chemistry within the classroom. And that way now when guys go out there, it ain't by chance that guys are going out there and performing up to par. It's because they got great teaching. And then on top of that, they got great support from their peers.
I'm sorry.
Luke's is practicing his tail off. He's doing good.
So I think this is interesting because, you know, Wiley has been – what has Wiley been? Has he? He's
been okay.
Okay. Did you see anything from Prince or with Niang maybe coming back, either one of those guys, or you just – is this just Wiley? Stick with Wiley as long as he's healthy.
You know, the thing about Prince is – didn't even notice he was out there, which is a good thing.
Right, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean,
he graded out very well with his limited snaps.
Yeah. I mean, and he wasn't going against any slouch. I mean, he was going against it was Walker and Josh Allen.
He's a tremendous slouch.
A tremendous slouch. I was waiting for you to say that. I was kind of teed that up for you. You know what? Hey, listen, I love when guys get an opportunity to step in and play and they compete. And you know what? Obviously, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Andy Heck. That he had the guys prepared. You know, second team guys don't get a lot of reps now in practice, guys. Just to let everybody know that. The first team guys are out there getting reps. Second team guys are usually running the scout offense. You know, you don't have 100 guys and red shirt guys. You know, you have some practice squad guys, but not enough. So most of the time, those second team guys are running scout team reps. So they don't get a lot of reps in practice. Now, whether Prince got a bunch of reps last week because they knew Wiley wasn't going to be ready, that's a whole different story. But really, nice job. I mean, didn't notice him, didn't really give up a lot of pressures. I mean, at times he was on the edge. But, hey, the Chiefs did well up front, and he was a part of it.
Why do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not get any touches in that game?
I don't know. I think that they found the combination that they like. They like the speed and quickness of McKinnon.
Third down, pass protection, good pass catcher.
Yeah, good pass catcher. You know, he has some burst to him. And I think they like the direct put your foot in the ground, up the middle type of between the tackles running of Pacheco. I thought he did a really nice job this week of setting blocks and being patient. And he maybe didn't do that earlier in the year. I think earlier in the year he kind of said, "Okay, this is a design play for the you know four hole, which is you know obviously on the outside arm of the right guard, and I'm going to pour it in there, whether come feast or famine, I'm going in there." Which is okay, but you can't live in that world. You've got to have some vision, and you got to have some patience. You got to let things develop. And I thought he did a good job of letting things develop and putting his foot in the ground. And when he and you know, I hate to say it, guys, but the best thing to happen to him was that early fumble.
Let me tell you something, though. Like, when that happened, because we've seen in the past guys getting the doghouse for fumbling, right, with Andy Reid. And when he fumbled, I looked at Phil. I said, "Oh, boy." I said, "Here comes Clyde after this." And then when Pacheco came back out there, I'm like, this really is the guy.
He ran angry in that game. He needs to do that. Who was the guy on Monday night from Washington? Robinson?
Yeah.
That dude runs angry.
That's the kid that got shot.
That's
probably why he's angry.
Yeah, well, if you get shot, I'd be angry too. But, you know, he just runs hard and runs physical and runs angry. And then the first guy that hits him, you know, he's pushing through. He's driving his legs.
He's got
that good body lean. But Pacheco did the same thing, man. He ran angry, too. Now, he doesn't have the size. He doesn't have the physicality maybe that Robinson has. But he ran angry. And when that guy pours it in there, he runs with his shoulder pads forward and doesn't have a huge target to hit. And, boy, he poured it in. So really enjoyed watching him run the ball this week. Is he a home run hitter? I don't know if he's really a home run hitter. But I tell you what, he's going to give you a couple singles and doubles, and he's going to give you those 4, 5, and 6 yard runs pretty consistently. And that's really all you need of the Chiefs offense.
Nate, are you giving up on Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Pretty close to it.
He just took his glasses off and he rubbed his face. And said,
well, I wanted him to be I wanted him to be what the Chiefs wanted him to be. You know, and because I was the lone defender of the idea of drafting a running back in the first round, and I still don't think that is a terrible idea if you get somebody that's a really good player, but he just doesn't do anything at the NFL level that is special.
Look, I'm just glad they're not like, oh, he's the first round pick,
yeah,
he's got to play. I just want them to play the guy that they think is the best,
and they are. I will give this regime credit for that. They've cut draft picks. They've cut a draft pick before camp even got out once. A high draft pick.
Third round pick.
They've not tried to do that. Like that's it's one of the things that's frustrated me about the Royals the last several years. Is they get married to, well, we've invested a lot in this guy.
Right.
You know, we got to keep watching Hunter Dozier go out there and play every day, even though the numbers are terrible. Well, we were stuck paying him. Yeah, but that doesn't help the team right now. And so, like, I
Hunter Dozier's driving around listening. Like,
he's caught astray for no reason.
What's going on, Nate?
I doubt he's in Kansas City right now.
He might
but
be.
Even if, but point being is, yeah, like I want to root for. I mean, I want him to play well, but I just haven't. He hadn't done anything,
right?
And they've given him a long enough run, and so I think Pacheco's already shown more.
I was still surprised he didn't get any touches at all.
It was stark. Because it wasn't like, oh, we've just kind of...
Right.
He's fallen down the depth chart. It's like he's fallen off the depth chart.
Right.
And So I don't really think about him too much. The guy that I do think about, though, because he's still just a rookie, is Sky Moore.
Mm.
Because he's fallen off the depth chart, it seems like, too.
Let's talk more about that with Tim, because I think it's interesting. But first, I would like you to hear, because I know, Nate, you're a big fan, a quick reaction. Let's check in on the mood of Aaron Rodgers after last night's home loss to Tennessee. Marco?
Where do you go from here, Aaron?
Home.
So that was
there you go.
Home.
That was, yes,
very honest answer.
Right, it's true. I mean,
you're just going home.
I mean, literally.
Because he could have gone.
And the team's going home, too.
Well,
he's unlikable when they're winning, but now he's really a jackass, and where do we go from here? Home.
We go home.
This is when the smartest guy in the room has to answer questions about why his team's not winning.
It's, you know what, you hate to see it, or
boy,
you love to see it. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Can we hear one more? Can we play that again? The Aaron Rodgers just checking on his mood after the Packers lost last night at home to the Titans.
Where are you going after the show?
Well, I've got to do a couple. I'm going to do a podcast with Nate Buchady, a World Cup for dummies like me. Because when it comes to the World Cup, I'm a moron. And so he's going to just, for you know what? Honestly, if you want to take part and you want to be a part of this, and you don't really know very much about it, it's going to be just like a quick guide for people so they can at least enjoy it and have a pretty good idea. Not everyone knows.
I better listen.
I mean, not everybody knows. Marco, Aaron Rodgers.
Where do you go from here, Aaron?
Home.
Thank you. Now, today I'll be up in St. Joseph, Missouri. I'm going to get there at 3
o'clock. Home away from home.
St. Joseph, Missouri, where I have made many a memory that I can remember most of them. And I'll be at the Hy-Vee on the Belt, okay? St. Joe Hy-Vee. I'll be there at 3 o'clock. You can register to win the Jim Beam cornhole set. You can also register to win, you better not forget, an autographed copy of Tim Grenhardt's book.
Yeah.
All right?
You're going to come down with me. I'm going to give you your book, and I'm going to give you a couple to bring up there.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much. Right. Now, Nate Buchady was asking you about Sky Moore. Okay, so obviously he had the troubles with the punts. He's not the punt returner anymore. And I think we've all expected him to do a little bit more. Because we thought the sky was the limit. But then, the other thing that kind of raises your eyebrows too then, like, okay, well, it's just too tough for a young receiver to learn the offense and be a part of it. Then Kadarius Toney comes in right away, even though his offensive coordinator was Mike Kafka, who came from the Chiefs last year,
yep.
the quarterback coach, so that mm-hmm. helps things.
Sure.
But he just hits the ground running. And so if there's ever a game where Sky Moore has the opportunity to do something in the offense, this is the game. He had to worry about punt returner. There's got guys ahead of him that are hurt. What's been the problem, you think, with Sky Moore?
Well, I mean, I could guess, and my guess would be that he just hasn't really grasped the whole offense yet and isn't in the right position. And one of the things that happened, especially with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, he's got to trust you. And he's got to trust that you know where you're going to be and how you're going to get there. And, you know, he's going to throw you open, and you got to, you know, make sure that, you know, that you're on the same page.
And he ran a bad route that led to an interception earlier this year.
I think it's just little things like that. I think his talent level is good enough. And you know, if you just limit, and this might be good for Sky, because, you know, the same thing they did with Tony last week is, you know, Tony, they just gave him a couple different things to do. And it seemed to be good enough because he made some nice plays. He made a couple nice plays on the sideline, one for a touchdown and then one for a key first down. Big plays that were designed for him. So I think Andy, because of necessity, will have to design some plays for Sky Moore this week. And if he makes some of those plays, the one thing that Sky does a really good job of, at least he did in college, is he's pretty good at catching the ball in traffic and in the middle of the field. And he was, by the way, either number one or in the top five of yards after catch. He's a big, strong guy when he does catch the ball. Now, obviously, it's college.
He's got legs like a running back, though. He's built more like a running back.
Yeah, so I would like to see – it just depends on – and guys, I don't know. I don't know what the Chargers are going to do, whether they're going to run some man stuff and they're going to pressure Mahomes, which I doubt they're going to do, or they're going to play that cover two shell, or they're going to play cover four and bring, you know, those corners up a little bit and the safeties up a little bit. I don't know what they're going to do. So if it is a man situation, I would love to see him run some man beaters, some meshes, and some different things across the field using some traffic issues from linebackers and safeties and finding some open space and catching a ball and seeing what he can do with the ball in his hand with a little bit of space. But I really don't know. I mean, that's a great thing about – well, it's not the great thing, but it's the thing that we can look for this week is, hey, we're going to see what Sky Moore is up to. It's not great because that means Juju Smith-Schuster's not playing. That means that Hardman's not playing. And, you know, we'll see if Scantling – he's sick. You know, there's a lot of that going around. I'm sure he'll be okay, but he didn't practice the other day because he wasn't feeling great. So there you go. I mean, it's like a mass unit over there in the wide receiver room, and they need to have these other guys step up. And, you know, the old adage, next guy up, well, next guy is Sky Moore, the next guy is Watson, the next guy is Kemp, if they're going to put him up, and the next guy is Tony. So we'll see what they can do.
Nate Bugatti.
The thing about when you talk about him not being on the same page with the offense, that was what, in a weird way, watching Tony go do what he did last weekend made me less optimistic about Sky Moore, because I'm like, okay, this dude just showed up and they already found a way to get the ball in his hands a few times. And it seems like, you know, he can't have grasped the offense better than Sky Moore in 1 week, can he?
No, and listen, that's a good point.
No, but Gary Dieter told us, because Gary Dieter went and he tried out for the Giants for a week, and he said there's a lot of similarities with their offense, because Mike Kafka's the offensive coordinator, so that made the transition easier.
Yeah, but one of the things that Andy does, and he does a really good job of this, and we see with Hardman, we see it, you know, we saw it with Pringle and some of the other guys last year, is when he needs to, he'll design plays to get guys open.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's a design play to go to Sky Moore, or it's a design play to go to Hardman. There were some design plays last week to go to Tony. To your point, yeah, I mean, you would think that Sky Moore would know the offense better than Tony, but to Steven's point, the verbiage between Kafka's offense and the verbiage between Andy and Bieniemy's offense is probably pretty similar. So, you know, he didn't have to learn the new language. He didn't have to learn the new design of plays, because they're probably pretty similar. But so this is going to be a great test. This is the big sombrero is on the wide receiver room, and the big sombrero is on Sky Moore this week. He needs to step up, and you know, because I promise you that Andy Reid is going to find some ways to try to get him open and scheme him open, and he's got to make plays. If he doesn't make plays, then there should be some concern.
How concerned are you about this matchup? The Chargers are banged up as well, but they always look like they give her a great effort against the Chiefs and make the game close, and sometimes they even beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, of all the AFC West teams, this team matches up the best against the Chiefs, and that's not saying much because the Chiefs roll through the AFC West most of the time. And I catch a lot of flack for this because on Twitter, but I tell you what, Mike Williams is a bad matchup for the Chiefs. Mike Williams has had good games against the Chiefs. I don't know if he's playing. Keenan Allen back in the day, about 4, 5, 6 years ago, I mean, he was uncoverable. I mean, he was making unbelievable plays against the Chiefs.
They're both limited in practice yesterday.
Yeah, so if those guys are in, and Bosa, I know he's limited. I don't know if he's going to play or not. If they get all those guys back, that this game could be competitive. The Chiefs are just a better football team. Eckler is a guy that has caused issues for the Chiefs. But the Chiefs, you know, listen, they drafted to deal with the Chargers' offense. I mean, they were proactive in that when they brought in Gay and brought in Bolton because – you know, didn't seem like they had the speed and athleticism to deal with Eckler and some of the things that the Chargers were trying to do with their running backs when they had Gordon out of the backfield.
Yeah, Eckler's a great receiver.
He is. And when you have guys that maybe aren't as athletically inclined to cover, then, you know, that's the mismatch. And that's all teams are looking for is mismatches. I don't think you have that anymore. I don't think Bolton and Gay are a mismatch for Eckler. I think it's a good matchup. This will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, first of all, if Williams and Keenan Allen play. If they don't play, you got Carter, who's one of their guys who they're trying to pub up as being the next guy. He's their Sky Moore, a guy that they expect to make some plays and stuff. It hasn't really particularly done it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the Chiefs are a better football team. It'll be interesting to see how aggressive the Chargers are. Will they be in that go for it on fourth down mode all the time? Because last game, they punted in a situation where everybody thought, hey, you know, they should have went for that. Mm-hmm. And they punted, and the Chiefs got the ball back, and I believe they scored, and the game was over. So it'll be, so there's just a lot of little dynamics underneath the surface that it'll be interesting to watch. And that's why these games are great, man. I'm just excited. I usually don't like flex games, but you know, this weekend, got all the kids are home. Thanksgiving, my daughter is a nurse. She works. She's a young nurse, so they have to work on Thanksgiving. So we're doing Thanksgiving on Sunday, so we're having a little Thanksgiving dinner, and then we're going to all watch the Chiefs game. So it's perfect for us, and it'll be fun. Just and watch the games within the game, all right? You know, how are they going to try to single up Orlando Brown on the edge with some of their speed rushers? How are they going to deal with how are they going to deal with Travis Kelce? Are they going to put a safety or a corner and bracket him? And you know, with the wide receivers being banged up, Smith-Schuster, who's taking some pressure off of Kelce, he's not playing. So will you see a lot more man and maybe a cover two man where they bracket Kelce in the middle of the field and play cover and play man on the outside against younger receivers who aren't as experienced and bring a little bit of pressure? And put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes to get rid of the ball and not get out of the pocket. So watch all those little things. That's the fun thing that, you know, that's why I love doing this show. And we could talk about it and say, hey, listen, Nate, you and I've talked about it many times. You enjoy the game more when you're looking for those little things that you can kind of grab onto. One of the things we talked about was with the Titans, how they were going to funnel everything to the corners, and the corners had to make tackles. And guess what happened?
Spill and fill,
the
right?
Spill and fill. That was the formula of the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Every defensive coordinator, I don't care what level you're at, whether you're in high school, like tonight, we're going up against Aquinas. What wrinkle, what flavor of the week are they going to have? You got to figure that out, and then you have to make an adjustment to that. And every defensive coordinator is that way. They always have something a little bit different. The Chargers will have something a little bit different against the Chiefs. Andy Reid is as good as anybody at deciphering what that difference is and then finding an answer for it. And that's why he wins so many games. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Andy Reid on his 64th victory at GHEA Stadium, Arrowhead Stadium. Just tied Marty Schottenheimer for the most wins at Arrowhead. Congratulations to Andy. That's a great, great accomplishment.
Arrowhead Stadium.
I know. Arrowhead.
I'm looking forward to watching on Sunday night how the Chargers will blow the game in the fourth quarter. It's always a big question. Back into this on WHB.
Timmy, will you watch any of the World Cup?
Yes.
Okay. Nate, will you watch? Nate, will you watch any of the World
Cup? I plan
on
watching some of it.
I want your both of your reactions right now to Qatar's decision to ban beer at stadiums just 48 hours before kickoff, despite FIFA's $100 million sponsorship deal with Budweiser. What do you say to that?
I think that's horse crap. That's what I think.
Nate Buchady.
Look, the fact that the World Cup is in Qatar is problematic on many levels, and this is not even near the highest level. Almost 7,000 migrant workers have died building stadiums and infrastructure in Qatar since they awarded the World Cup there because their human rights issues are horrible. People of the LGBTQ plus community are imprisoned and tortured in Qatar.
Why are you watching this damn thing?
Well, I watched it when it was in Russia, too. You know, and we watched the Olympics when it was in Russia. This happens.
This got too real now. I was just asking about beer.
Yeah, sorry. But if we're going to talk about, but this is the problem with Qatar. The FIFA's corrupt as hell.
Yeah.
FIFA took bribes. The guy that runs that used to run the confederation in our region called CONCACAF.
Go on.
His name was Jack Warner.
What is it called? CONCACAF?
CONCACAF. Right. It's a big acronym for the
what?
North America, Central America, and the Caribbean.
What do you do?
He's down in Trinidad and Tobago. Well, he just lost his latest appeal. He's going to get extradited to the United States to face charges of fraud.
Is this the guy who was doing the Bitcoin stuff?
Under the table. All kinds
but
of
he,
stuff.
He took $5 million in bribe money to vote
Bernie
for
Madoff's
Qatar.
Son or something? What's going on?
He took $5 million in bribe money for Qatar.
I'm not watching now. I'm not watching. I was going to watch. I was all excited. I'm not watching now.
Stop saying
I'm just
that.
Not
this
watching.
Is the kind of stuff I want to hear in the podcast.
This is filthy. But when it comes to the beer stuff, you know, in Qatar, it's this. By the way, you want to get on a real rant. This is why you don't let religious entities run your government.
Oh, no. all I did was ask about a beer ban.
No,
that's why they're banning beer.
You don't know what
beer.
You asked them, man.
But they lied to FIFA and said, "Oh yeah, no, you can sell beer in the state because FIFA's got a huge deal with Budweiser." And by the way, soccer fans like to drink beer.
Yeah, are you telling me that all these German and English and Wales and all these different nationalities and countries are coming in here that are beer drinking fools?
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
You know what?
Maybe I'll go now
because I don't drink anymore.
It's going to be interesting.
I wasn't going to go because I was so nervous there was going to be too much drinking around me.
Yeah.
I'm going now.
You think I'm kidding? You know what this is going to lead to? Butt chugging. And you think I'm kidding.
Hey, whatever it takes,
yeah,
man.
Exactly right. You agree?
I have no idea what that is, and I don't even want to know.
You went to Notre Dame. I know you did.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is there butt chugging going on in Notre Dame?
Yeah, baby. You maybe ought to pay more attention.
Is this like South Park?
I'll tell you what,
is this a South Park episode?
South Bend. They sell beer in South Bend.
Is this a South Park episode when they're eating food that way?
You guys maybe.
Turkey. All right. Okay, I gotta go. This is
hell out of here.
Getting crazy.
That's Tim Gunhart. Hey, don't forget the books. I need books for my people in St. Joe.
Let's go get them right
3
now.
3 o'clock, I'll be at the St. Joe Hy-Vee. Come and see me. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.